Hey friends, hopefully you're listening to this after you've listened to the first half of this interview on the Camp House. And as I said at the end of that interview, I kind of forgot to have Abby record a second intro and outro. So instead of having an introduction, we're just going to pick up the conversation right where Abby and I left off. So I hope you enjoy the rest of this conversation. And without anything further, here's the second half of our conversation.
So as you guys moved to the MLK location, kind of like you said earlier, you guys didn't really know what you were a part of in the South Side in some ways.
Yeah.
I think you guys did have a sense of what you were a part of when you moved to MLK.
Yeah.
So how, what have you seen happen in that neighborhood and on your, your street in the past couple of years?
Well, I think, first of all, so there's been some changes within the camp house. I'll touch on first, okay. But then secondly, if I don't get back to this, remind me, but I'm thrilled for what's happening on MLK right now. And it's really exciting. 2017 is going to be an amazing year on MLK. But, you know, as far as the camp house goes is, you know, when we moved to this location on MLK in December of 2014. And in that move, we knew we were moving to a significantly larger location. I think our square footage, especially when you include the patios, at least twice what we had in the old space. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be very, very different. We knew we had to step up our game on food, and we kind of had some ideas of how it was going to change. I will say this. Most people within the Mission Chattanooga know this, but 2015 was an incredibly hard year of transition for us because it was so different. Mm-hmm. And you know, for me and my job, I've not worked a single day behind the bar in the new location, which is kind of weird, but I think that just shows the kind of change that's happened there. It requires so much more management than we ever had before. We're much more like a restaurant. And so we do wrestle with the question of what is the camp house a lot. Hmm. And where we've landed with that is the camp house is a gathering space, you know, because we're the size of a restaurant. We're bigger than most restaurants. You can never support the square footage we have with a coffee bar. Ever. Never, never.
Right.
And so we have to have a significant kitchen, a significant food element. At the same time, our purpose is to be cultivating culture and creating community in Chattanooga. So we can't be, the only way we can preserve that, we're not going to turn over tables the way a restaurant will. And so when you walk in, we have the services of a restaurant minus some table service, but the total vibe of a coffee shop mm-hmm. that invites you to kind of sit and relax and have a conversation. And that's been really hard to balance those tensions, right, of trying to make bottom line and maintain that mission. But, you know, in the old space, we very clearly knew that we were there for our neighborhood. In this new space, we feel like we're much more here for the city of Chattanooga. And, you know, what I mean by that is in the old space, if you walked in the old space, odds are within two or three visits, you get to know whoever the barista is behind the coffee bar, right? It had that very idealistic coffee shop feel where you walk in and everybody knows your name. You know, that you can hold a conversation for 5 minutes with the barista while he's making your coffee. It's not a big deal. And so we had a lot of relational capital built up in the old space. Moving to the new space, you know, after the first year, I had put out a report. And I'll include this on the show notes later. But I put out this report to our church, essentially saying the first year of MLK, and I listed kind of everything, all the events that we did. What I realized when I put out that report is we partnered in the new location within the first year. We did events and partnered with more cultural activities, more organizations, more nonprofits, more businesses than we did in the first 4 years in the old space combined.
Wow.
I mean, every you know, we would be busy about two nights a week in the old space. Like for that first year in this space, we literally had something going on 5 nights a week.
Wow.
And so really, I think what we sort of maybe have lost in relational capital, because now we're much more like a restaurant. Our baristas can't stand there and talk to somebody for 5 minutes anymore.
Right.
You know, there's just too much going on. There's too many people. But what we've sort of lost in that relational capital, I think we've kind of made up for, you know, a few times over in cultural capital within the city.
You might not be able to talk to the baristas, but every time I go over there, there's certainly, I mean, first of all, they're always very friendly and they do talk to me, but there's so many people sitting there, you know, that I know and who know one another that it is sometimes like, you know, what is it? Like kind of like City Hall. It's like, you know, the town square where everyone is and Yep. There's certainly people to talk to if you want to. You kind of have to make an effort to not talk to people.
So the other big move, you know, moving into the MLK location is we brought on Jose Alfaro as our GM. So I stepped out of the GM role, and we hired Jose as our GM, who has a lot of restaurant experience, and I didn't, and I hate management, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm much more a vision type of person. And, you know, and he put out a message that, hey, guy, to the staff, like, hey, guys, you know, we're here for the people. And I told him, I was like, you're right. And so one morning, Jose was walking around and I told him, hey, stop. Right over there is somebody from the Benwood Foundation having a meeting. Right over there is River City Company having a meeting. Right over there is Cogent Architects going over plans for the next building. Right. Those are two lawyers from Miller Martin having a meeting. Okay, that's somebody from Chattanooga Organized for Action having a meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is why the Camp House is so important to Chattanooga.
Cross section. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not that these meetings wouldn't be happening if we didn't exist, but these meetings wouldn't be happening in the same place if we didn't exist.
Right.
And the fact that they happen in the same place means that no matter what, when Cogent is done with their meeting with their client, they're going to talk to River City Company. You know, when Benwood's done, they're going to talk to the city councilman that's right across on the other side of the room. Right. And not to mention the designers who run into each other constantly at the Camp House, you know. And so I think that's why now when you ask us, what is the Camp House? We'll say we're a gathering space. Huh. We're not a restaurant. We're not a coffee shop. We're a gathering space. And we do all those things. We do all those things really well.
Are you starting to see more people who come to the Camp House as a destination? Like, not just the neighbor upstairs, but I mean, I feel like there's people who like drive to the Camp House now, which maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, we do have a pretty robust social media presence, and we always have. You know, we've never had a real marketing budget, so we've always invested heavily in social media. And so for that reason, there'll be a lot of people who come, like, they're passing through Chattanooga, will intentionally come to the Camp House because they've always seen it online, they've always wanted to visit and that kind of thing. And we do have a lot of people always ask us if college students are a big demographic for us because they're right down the street from the university, and they're really not, you know, except for the last 2 weeks. Finals week, you will not find a table at the Camp House because it's full of college kids, and not just UTC kids, Covenant kids, Lee University kids come down to study just to get out of their environment and that kind of thing. We do have, and especially on Saturdays, most of our traffic is not our Monday through Friday traffic. It is unique individuals coming from outside the city or from the suburbs to have brunch downtown.
I actually always wondered if y'all were open on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday is our busiest day of the week.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, our brunch is nuts.
Huh, okay. Well, that shows how out of touch and lame I am. Can you tell us just a little bit more about what the church side is like? I've also never been to a service there, but...
Oh, wait, first, talking about MLK... And why we're excited in the neighborhood we're in. I think everybody's always known. So first of all, MLK is this incredible historical district within our city, you know, the center of African-American culture for our city. And we want to do everything we can to honor that and be a part of that. We host a lot of, you know, African-American social events and concerts as often as we can. Work with a lot of great promoters in the city. But over the next few years, everybody's always known that this area is kind of destined for redevelopment. And there's a lot of negative connotations that come to that too. But I will say most of the business owners that I know, after serving as the head of the business association for this area for the last year, are very excited about the opportunities that are coming. And so during 2017, this area is going to explode. The street's going to be redone, thankfully, down to 3 lanes with bike lanes, which is going to be huge for the businesses in this area. And then, and I think I want to say, I got to figure this out because I'm supposed to report on it. But I want to say there's going to be something like 6 new businesses opening within the first 2 months of 2017. Do you know?
I don't know the actual number, but it seems like that.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, you know, businesses opening within the Tomorrow Building. You know, Odd Story Brewing is opening, will be fully open. There's a couple different
Two Sons
Kitchen plus another restaurant concept right there by them will be opening.
There's another brewery.
Well, that's Odd Story Brewing, but there's a tap house that's supposed to be going in right by JJ's.
Right.
And those empty spaces. I don't know if that's been finalized or not. Maybe I shouldn't.
I hope the college kids will come and be patrons if there's beer involved.
Yeah, me too. so it's gonna be really exciting. The next 6 months, I'm really excited about.
Yeah, definitely. it's interesting the whole, I feel like you've probably either always had an interest in city planning and urban design, or you've quickly gotten up to speed on it, because there's been a lot of, I don't know if controversy is probably overkill of it, but there's been lots of discussions about what to do with the streetscape and whatnot of MLK, and it sounds like we've landed on at a pretty good place, right? They're giving it a road diet, and
yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a great move for the neighborhood, for the businesses. To be frank, it's definitely not as convenient for people who live outside of the city and use MLK as a primary way into the city. But by every study that I've seen that CDOT has done, you know, it's only going to extend, you know, travel time by a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And this is going to go so far to helping. I mean, it's going to elevate real estate value. These businesses are going to be far, you know, they're going to have far more patrons this way. And it's just it's a move for the future. You know? Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, one of many things that I think helped, you know, put MLK into a state of people just driving by it and not investing in it was the fact that it was specifically redesigned to get people out of downtown quickly. So I'm excited for them to not get out of downtown quickly.
Yeah,
hang around.
Me too.
That's exciting.
And I'm excited for commuters too, because the truth is, you're going to see the city differently when you're going to be slowed down to the actual speed limit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you will experience the city entirely differently from going, you know, 50 miles an hour down to 35. And then, you know, if you really want to get out there, the way you experience the city when you're on a bike or you're walking, I walk MLK Boulevard at least 2 or 3 times a week, and I love it. And mm-hmm. I can't separate the love I have for this neighborhood now from those walks, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, the way I've come to know this block, these few blocks, because of just walking them.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Okay, so just similarly to how I've never been to the Camp House on Saturday, because I go home on the weekends and don't come back. For those of y'all who don't know, my office is like through the back wall of Camp House. I don't work there, but I feel like sometimes it's my second office. I've never been to church there either. So tell us just a little bit about the church side of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the Mission Chattanooga, we're an Anglican church, which most people don't know what that means either. We're just a liturgical church. The way I like to try and tell people is like, if you can combine like a Catholic or Episcopal service with like a contemporary evangelical service, that's like what we are. So like we have historical liturgy, mm-hmm. Historical prayers. We take communion every single Sunday with contemporary worship and then preaching and stuff like that too. You know, for me, what was fascinating is about, like I said this at the very beginning, ministry has always been this underlying current in my calling and who I am. And when I look back on where I am now, it's just amazing, because it's like one of those moments where, you know, you see God's providence and God's hand in your life, 2020 in hindsight, right? And I just feel like, you know, if we want to get really theological, I feel like God gave me all the desires of my heart and more than I could have ever dreamed of, mm-hmm. because of the church side.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up Pentecostal, part of a mega church movement. I was part of a church in college that went from 1,000 to 4,000 people in 2 years. I've worked in Baptist churches, and for me, Anglicanism, I just felt like I came home theologically in a way I never had before.
Hmm.
And so, that's been equally as important for me and what I'm doing as the Camp House itself, is becoming, an ordained pastor within the Anglican church. And really thinking about, and what that's allowed me to do between the mission and the Camp House, it really allows me to spend a lot of my time thinking about this threshold of faith and culture. Like how do we, as the church, become more involved in our cities for the sake of human flourishing? How do we encourage other churches to do that? How do we help them reimagine their role in a positive way, in a way that's a good public witness and that seeks the shalom and the prospering of everyone? Because I think too often churches' imaginations are very limited in terms of like when they think about engaging the city, you know, their imaginations don't really go beyond Mercy Ministries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely a part of who we are as a church. But I think that is a limitation of what we're called to. And so, you know, I think that's a huge next step for at least me and my boss, Chris, we're trying to work on and a few others trying to work on a new organization that explicitly looks at that. Like, how do we encourage the church to become more involved in culture in their cities and stuff like that?
It seems like you guys are, whether you're doing it on purpose or not, kind of answering some sort of a need that modern culture has of you know, people moving, you know, technology, and things move so fast, and we ultimately don't really know one another and all that. Like, do you guys explicitly see that as your role, or does that just kind of happen as a byproduct of, like, slowing down, getting to know one another, having this space where you can come and be and know people?
Yeah, actually, I think that's a great question. I think it's a byproduct. I think it's something we stumbled to unconsciously. I think we're a little bit more conscious of it now. But, you know, I remember Joe Ledbetter, you know, one of the founders of Chattanooga Whiskey, back in the early days. You know, Chattanooga Whiskey, so much of that place was started by meetings over our tables and in our loft in our old space. And one time Joe and I were standing outside, and we were asking this question, what is the camp house? And Joe told me, he's like, what makes you guys different from any other place I've ever been is you actually care. Like, I can't come into the camp house without you asking me and without Aaron asking me about Chattanooga Whiskey, about how things are going. And like, you guys legitimately want to hear that story and you want to know. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, kind of fast forward that, you know, Jose Alfaro, my GM, and I were having this conversation, and I just honestly want to know people, and I want to know their stories. I want to know what they're passionate about. You know, and I think everybody's passionate about something different. I think that's the most fascinating thing about us. I think it goes into that cultural creation piece, mm-hmm. that we're all called to be doing something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a God thing within every person. And that's the story we want to be a part of. And, you know, and I don't think that's unique to me. I think a lot of our staff that is that way.
Yeah. Okay. So clearly you guys are on to, in my opinion and in your opinion. Yeah. So two opinions. Out of a sea of them, onto something special. I mean, I think you are. And I think a lot of people would agree with that too. Do you guys, I know you guys have expanded into Red Bank.
Yeah.
You also have expanded into, like, the preschool piece.
Yeah.
What are your growth plans? Like, what's next?
Well, so with the mission, we always have a lot of ideas. we've had a preschool, I think, since 2013, and it used to be out in Brainerd. And with this move, we were able to bring that into one location in downtown and honestly be able to serve people better, you know, because there's not too many downtown preschools. There's a few, and there's a few really good ones, but there's not many. And so that was kind of part of a natural move into this location, having more rooms, being able to bring our preschool element into that. But really, if we lease a space, we are going to find as many ways to use that space as possible, right? And so there's literally not a room within the camp house, you know, even beyond the locked doors and the walls that people see, that isn't being utilized by some other thing, right? So the preschool takes up the other half of the camp house during the week. And then that's our children's ministry space on Sundays. Really, intimacy and worship is another one of our key values. And I talked about beauty earlier. Intimacy and worship is another one. Every time one of our services reaches 150 and starts growing beyond that, we really want to split that off into a new service or plant a new chapel somewhere. So we're 7 years old now. We have 3 services in the City Center Chapel, which is the camp house. We have 1 service in Highland Park, which meets at Richmond, and it's our Highland Chapel. And we have a service in Red Bank, which meets in the meeting house. So Al Allison came on our staff with the vision of planting a church in Red Bank. And the mayor of Red Bank kind of saw what we were doing at the camp house in Southside. He really wanted something like that to happen in Red Bank. And so they found the location, and the mayor kind of helped work out, negotiate the lease for him. And so we have another coffee shop, third space element up in Red Bank called the Meeting House that, to be honest, we have a really great relationship with, but they moved into that space at the same time we're moving into the camp house. Okay. So I think if it happened at any other time, we would be much more involved. I would have been much more involved in that, but it is incredible the way that they've taken the coffee shop there. And if you walk in, it feels contextualized to Red Bank.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing. It's an incredible space. And it fits so well there. Whereas the Camp House, especially this iteration of the Camp House in downtown, fits the center of the Innovation District.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's pretty incredible to see.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up here and have, you know, my dad's always gotten his hair cut at JJ and Friends in Red Bank. Like, I've spent a lot of time in Red Bank, let's just put it that way. And I love what's happening over there and their little, I don't know if they call it a village or like the little downtown area, like right there where you guys are. And
yeah,
I feel like
that's
it was
how I
happening.
Explain it to people. If you can imagine, if there's any part of Red Bank that looks like a downtown, that's it.
It's right there. Yeah. Right there at Morrison Springs and Dayton Boulevard. And it's funny because I feel like that's always been, you know, the little downtown of Red Bank. But for me, at least, it was like when there was a Camp House there, suddenly you're like, oh, man, other people see this, too. Like Red Bank has got some potential here. This is a cool little village close to downtown. So it has in some ways arrived.
Yeah, if you ever miss the old Camp House, I always recommend people go up there to the Meeting House in Red Bank because it does have that old Camp House vibe to it, that it's just this relaxing coffee shop place that hosts a lot of concerts. And it's small and intimate. And
yeah, it's smaller, a little bit more casual. Mm-hmm. If the space on MLK is more urban and sleek,
yeah,
it's more kind of just laid back, I guess.
But yep.
Yeah, should go visit it. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, what's next. What are y'all working on?
Yeah. So I feel like 2017. You know, we are really excited for 2017 because I feel like it'll be the most stable year we've ever had. You know, like I said, moving into this location, there was a lot of unknowns, and a huge one is that private event revenue, like this business model that we have is not possible without private event revenue. We knew that would take a year to come about. We knew that 2015 was just going to be a wash. If we can get through it, that'd be great. So 2016 is kind of like the first year we actually have, you know, real numbers to kind of know going forward, you know, what areas we can grow, you know, what months are going to be hard, that kind of stuff. So, you know, so on that business side level, we're really excited for 2017. As far as what's next on like almost like a vision level, I feel like the other piece that changed between 2015 and 2016 is we probably reduced our concerts by half in 2016. And yeah, that's not something I'm actually very excited about. I'm a little sad about that. But we also hosted an incredible number of organizations and businesses and nonprofit events in 2016. And so I think that's going to grow more next year, partnering with new organizations and current organizations with events at night. I think our private events will continue to grow on a business level. But really, when it comes to this question of how can we use our space to be a blessing to the community, how can we use the Camp House to help cultivate culture and create community, you know, for me, this podcast became the natural answer to that, right? Like I said, there's so many conversations happening in the Camp House that what I realized is that me and my staff were kind of becoming pretty connected to some of the stories that were happening in the city. You know, like Jared Bingham with Chattanooga 2.0 is a fixture at one of our tables at this point. And so I realized there just wasn't a place to go and learn about some of the meta narrative stories that are happening in our city, some of the really big ideas, except unless you're going to read an article. Mm-hmm. And there was no place to see it or hear it or anything like that. And so, you know, as a millennial, you know, I'm 31, I consider myself the top end of the millennials. I consume podcasts like 4 to 6 hours a week. And the great thing about podcasts is I can do it while I'm answering emails, all this kind of, stuff. And I had a conversation with an old William Evanson, who has now moved on and planted Mission Cincinnati, which I should have mentioned that. We actually have a daughter church in Cincinnati now.
Oh, wow.
He and I had a conversation in December of 2015. About podcasting, and I realized that we could do that. And so I've been working on that for an entire year now, of creating a resource that involved interviews and stories of all the big ideas, the big things happening in our city. And hopefully we've done that so far. And for me, the big thing is looking forward to 2017 is how can we expand this, you know, what we're doing right here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get beyond interviews. You know, I want to be able to do some live events. Some Camp House live events. I want to get into storytelling. I want to get more into just finding ways that we can expand this platform. And so I think for me personally, that'll be kind of my big thing moving forward while maintaining, you know, some of the all the cultural things we're doing at the camp house, and Jose will focus on growing the business. And then, you know, on the church side, there's two things we're pretty excited about. Chris Woodhall is on our staff, and he is actually going to be planting a chapel on Glass Street. Like, he's planning on planting a chapel on Glass Street. It won't involve a camp house. It'll have a third space element to it, but it'll be more, I think it's going to be more of a studio piece. But he's already working with and mentoring a lot of young men out there. And so really we're just coming along and kind of blessing what he's doing. And he's going to be creating a Glass Street chapel there. And then, Jake Stumm is a great friend of ours. He'll be planting a chapel in Cleveland in 2018. So he's gonna be ramping that up this year. And
will it have a coffee aspect to it as well?
We don't know yet. We're in the planning process of that. I mean, he's incredible. I don't think it will, to be honest. But it's something we're asking, but I'm not sure that it will. But we have so many people who drive down for our Sunday night service from Cleveland, from the university, and that kind of thing. And so we kind of just want to be able to. And then Jake, you know, Jake started coming to our church, and a few months into it, you know, he finally started telling us who he was, and he has a PhD in Christian leadership. He's been a pastor for 8 years. And so we're actually just trying to honor what God's doing among us in terms of,
right.
You know, we have a pastor with us who lives there, and we have all these people coming down. And so we're really excited about that too. So on the church side, you know, we're going to be ramping up towards those two plants here pretty soon.
Locally, and then Cincinnati.
Well, and so
separate?
Yeah, well, Mission Cincinnati is our daughter church. We support William up there and whatever we can. But he's been up there a year now, and he's launching weekly services now and everything. And, you know, for anybody who ever met William while he was here, the guy is incredible in terms of the way he gets involved in the community, the way he pours into his people. And so we're really excited to see him continue to grow up there as well.
That's exciting. Wow. Well, Matt, thanks for giving us the inside look at you and Camp House and the mission. And it's fascinating. You guys are doing great stuff in Chattanooga and apparently beyond as well.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this. This was a lot of fun.
This was fun. I kind of like being the host now. Thank you so much to Matt Busby for coming on the podcast today and sharing a little bit about himself, the Camp House, and Mission Chattanooga. I really enjoyed our conversation and hope the rest of you did as well, and would encourage any of y'all, if you have never been to the Camp House or the Meeting House, to get out there and to make a visit and to go check it out. So thank you to our studio sponsor, Lamp Post Group, for letting us use this space to record. And if you enjoyed this episode, please go to thecamphouse.com/podcast to share it with your friends and family and to check out past episodes and share them as well. So again, this is your guest host, Abby Garrison with Causeway, and thank you for tuning in today. We'll see you next time.